Father in heaven, we thank you for all that you have done for us. Lord, you are gracious and merciful beyond measure. We thank you that you have blessed us with your grace, grace that we do not deserve, and that you have sent us your one and only Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die in our place, to rise again for us that we might have life. Thank you that we can gather and reflect on your word tonight and apply it to our own lives. Thank you for the opportunity to gather and to share our needs and the concerns of our hearts and pray about them together. And Lord, we just pray that you would bless this time and may it be an encouragement to us and may it also honor your name. And we pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Tonight, we're going to look at some themes in Proverbs, specifically one theme, and that is looking to the future or planning for the future. We just finished up a series on Proverbs and walking through the whole book. And we finished with some themes in Proverbs. And what I thought I might do for a couple of weeks is just look at some more themes from Proverbs that we didn't cover in our series. And so tonight, I wanted to look at the theme of planning for the future. And Proverbs has a lot to say about that. And what I'm doing tonight is drawn from a commentary on Proverbs by Tremper Longman. In the back of his commentary, he has some outlines on different themes in Proverbs, and that was very helpful to me in looking at this particular theme tonight. And so I just want to share this with you and hope it's an encouragement to you in thinking about how we make decisions, how we plan, and also incorporating God's wisdom into those plans, as well as thinking about God's sovereignty and how that matches up with our plans. And so tonight we're going to be looking at planning for the future. And as we start thinking about it, one of the things about planning is planning has to have a goal, right? So when you're planning something, it's forward looking. You have to have a specific purpose in mind. And so planning requires a goal. And once you have this goal, then you have to figure out how am I going to reach that goal? So you need a strategy, right? So here's a goal that I want to reach. I want to reach this goal. Then I've got to figure out how I'm going to get there. So I'm going to come up with a strategy. I'm going to come up with a plan to get to that point. And sometimes, we have to use our minds, right? We have to use our imagination. We have to use our creativity in order to think about the best way to reach that goal. And so we have to think about everything that goes into the making of that plan and how to reach that goal. And one of the things that goes into that planning and how to reach that goal is we have to anticipate obstacles, don't we? We have to anticipate obstacles that may come along the way. And when those obstacles come, sometimes we might have to come up with an alternative strategy, or sometimes we might have to even alter the goal. We might see, as certain obstacles come into our path, that this original goal that we had isn't attainable anymore. And we might have to change that. And that's a part of us living under God's sovereignty in the world, is sometimes our plans don't exactly work out the way that we think. And so we have to anticipate the possibility of some of these things. But really, to plan well requires wisdom, doesn't it? It requires wisdom. And that's the main theme of Proverbs, is wisdom. And wisdom is really a skill. It's skill in living through God's perspective, skill in living under God's truth. And a skill is not something that you can develop in a day, is it? A skill is something that's acquired over time. And so you can't necessarily get all the skill that you need just by reading Proverbs or by reading a book on how to make decisions, how to plan for the future. You also have to put it into practice, don't you? You have to put it into practice. You have to apply those principles. And sometimes you're going to make mistakes and you're going to learn from those mistakes. And that's a part of the development of that skill. It takes time. It takes experience. But as you grow in that, you develop in that skill of how to plan appropriately, plan with wisdom. And Proverbs talks a lot about planning for the future. The wise sages who have the sayings collected in Proverbs, they knew the value of planning. They knew that it was important. And they knew that when you plan, that it can lead to great benefits. It can lead to success. One example is in Proverbs 21 and verse 5. It says, "The plans of the diligent lead to profit, as surely as haste leads to poverty." In other words, if you're careful, you're forward-looking, you think about what you want to achieve, you think about the different strategies that you might take to achieve that goal, those who are diligent in planning, it says they have success, right? That comes to profit. But those who act quickly, those who act in haste, those who don't stop and think before they act, they don't end up in profit. They end up in difficulty and trouble. And so this particular verse in Proverbs is contrasting wise planning versus just rushing in without thinking things through. So planning, looking forward, can bring benefits. Wise planning leads to great confidence in the future, such as is displayed that we saw last week in chapter 31 of Proverbs with the virtuous woman or the noble woman. And so when you're looking to the future, then you can anticipate things that might come up. You can plan for difficult times that may enter your life. You can plan for good times. You can envision different scenarios and have things prepared for when those times may come. One of the most important things in Proverbs, though, is God's love, God's faithfulness to his people. And those who live in God's wisdom, those who plan in accordance with God's word, in accordance with God's wisdom, they experience the blessings of God. They experience his blessing on their life, his covenant love, his faithfulness, these things that can come only from God. And so what is it that distinguishes wise planning from foolish planning? What's the difference? Well, in wise planning, we seek advice from other people. And not just anyone, we look for wise people to get advice from. One of the things that Proverbs teaches us is the danger of trusting ourselves, right? Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, "Don't lean on your own understanding, but trust in the Lord with all your heart." Proverbs also talks about the advantage of leaning on wise counselors who can give you wisdom. And so wise planning does research, right? Does research. And part of that research, part of that planning process is asking other people who have knowledge, other people who have skill, other people who have been through similar experiences. And so you go and ask them, you get advice from those wise people. But it's got to be from wise people, right? Because if you get wisdom from someone who's not wise, it leads to trouble. And there's a couple of examples. There are probably many others that we could look at in the scriptures, but these couple of examples come to mind of people who sought counsel from bad counselors, and it ended up in trouble. One of them is Amnon. He sought advice from Jonadab about his half-sister, and it ended up in trouble, didn't it? It ended up in turmoil, and that bad counsel that Jonadab gave him created an immoral action, as well as a lot of internal strife and hatred within that family that lasted for years to come. We also see that Solomon's son, Rehoboam, remember after Solomon died and Rehoboam became king, and he wanted to know how he should run his kingdom. Some people came to him and said, "Ease up on us a little bit. The burden of your father was too hard." And so he went and he sought counsel. He sought counsel from the elders, the older counselors who had been counselors for his father. And he also sought the counsel of the people who were his own age, young people, inexperienced. And which way did he go? Yeah, he went with the young counselors, right? And he ignored the older counselors, and he put the burden harder on the people. And what ended up happening is he split the kingdom. He split the kingdom in half because he sought bad counsel. And so it's important to seek counsel, but to seek it from people who know, people who have experience, people who have wisdom in God's truth. Wise planning also has a virtuous goal. So one of the differences between wise planning and foolish planning is wise planning plans good things. It has good goals in mind, virtuous goals. goals that are fair and honest. And in one of the most important things, though, that we have to think about is how our plans interact with God and his working in the world. And one of the most important things that we can consider is that wise planning also involves an awareness that our plans are ultimately under God's plans, right? God's superseding purpose can trump our plans. And there's a lot in Proverbs about this. There's several verses in Proverbs chapter 16 that speak to this. Proverbs 16:1 says, "To humans belong the plans of the heart, but from the Lord comes the proper answer of the tongue." To humans belong the plans of the heart, but from the Lord comes the proper answer of the tongue. So we can think about what we want to do. We can think about what we want to say, but the Lord is sovereign over all of these things. Verse number 3 says, "Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and he will establish your plans." Ultimately, God has veto over our plans, doesn't he? So this is encouraging us to commit our plans to the Lord so that they might be established. Verse number 4 of Proverbs 16 says, "The Lord works out everything to its proper end, even the wicked for a day of disaster." Meaning God's sovereignty involves everything in the whole universe. So we have to take that into account when we're planning. Verse 9 of Proverbs 16 says, "In their hearts, humans plan their course, but the Lord establishes their steps." So the Lord can alter our plans. He can veto our plans because God's sovereignty is above our sovereignty, if you will. God's will is above our will. We see in verse 33 of Proverbs 16 that the lot is cast into the lap, but its every decision is from the Lord. So even something as insignificant as the casting of a lot, or in our culture, we might associate it with the rolling of a die or the flipping of a coin, God's sovereignty is involved in something even that insignificant. Proverbs 19:21 says, "Many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails." The Lord's purpose prevails. Proverbs 20, verse 24, "A person's steps are directed by the Lord. How then can anyone understand their own way?" So the Lord is working in all of these things. Our plans are ultimately subservient to God's plans. And so we don't know for certain that any of our future plans will work out, do we? We can plan and we should plan, but we don't have advanced knowledge of the future like God does. God knows all, and God is sovereign over all. But our plans may not always work out. And so God may change things if he so wills. Proverbs 27, verse 1, "Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring." James quotes that, doesn't he, in the book of James, chapter 4, talking about those who foolishly boast about tomorrow, those who foolishly plan and don't take into account God's will. And so we need to humble ourselves. A part of wise planning is humble planning. Humble yourself before God. Seek his counsel in his word. Seek the counsel of other wise counselors. Seek the Lord in prayer. Commit your plans to the Lord. And if he so wills, your plans will succeed and they will prevail. But God's will ultimately will be accomplished. There are some good examples of wise planning in Scripture, and there are probably many that we could point to. But one of them is in Daniel. I just want to think about one of these instances in the life of Daniel. In chapter 1, do you remember in Daniel chapter 1 that Daniel and his young friends are in Babylon? They've been taken captive from Judah, moved to Babylon. And the plan of King Nebuchadnezzar and all of his officials is that all of these captives, the ones that are being trained for service in the court, that they would all be fed the king's food from the king's table. But Daniel, being a Hebrew, having a conscience that is subject to the will of God and wanting to obey God in terms of the law, wanted to not defile himself with the king's food. And so he pleaded with the chief official, Ashpenaz, and he asked him if they could not eat the king's food. But he said no. He said, no, you have to eat the king's food. If you don't, I'll get in trouble. So you've got to eat the king's food. Well, Daniel had a goal, right? Daniel had a goal. What was that goal? His ultimate goal was to not disobey God. His ultimate goal was to do what was right. The subservient goal to that in this situation was to not eat food that might defile himself before God. His strategy, his original strategy was, I'm going to graciously ask the chief official if I can be exempted from this. He says no. Well, what does he do? Does he just trash the whole plan and say, okay, then I'll just eat whatever they give me? No, he comes up with another strategy, doesn't he? He comes up with another strategy, and this time he goes to someone a little bit lower on the chain, lower in position, and he makes an agreement with him. He says, give us vegetables and water, and let's make it for a trial period of 10 days. And over those 10 days, you can watch us. You can see if we're getting stronger and healthier or if we're getting weaker and more sickly. And if we're getting weaker and more sickly, then we'll eat the king's food. But if not, if we get strong and healthy and we look fine, then let us continue eating vegetables and water. So he came up with a different strategy. And the lower servant, the one who is probably the one directly responsible for giving him his food, said, okay, let's try it. They tried it. It worked. And Daniel and his friends were able to still be in the favor of Ashpenaz, the chief official, as well as the favor of the king. And yet, at the same time, they did not violate their conscience before the Lord, did they? Recently, I've been talking about how we as Christians in this culture need to be more like men like Daniel. We need to be men like Daniel, like Nehemiah, like Joseph in Egypt. These were people who followed God in the middle of a pagan culture. Our country is increasingly becoming more and more pagan. And more, we're going to need this kind of wisdom of people like Daniel and Nehemiah and Joseph, where they were able to satisfy the demand of those in authority over them, their human authorities, but at the same time, not violate their conscience before God. We need that kind of wisdom. And so we need to try as much as we possibly can to seek to obey the authorities that God has placed over us, but not violate God's authority over us. And if we can find that place of wisdom where we can do both of those, then that's where we should be. But there may come a time where we just have to stand with God and we can't bow the knee. Daniel succeeded here, but what happened when they passed a law that said you can't pray? Well, then he was between a rock and a hard place then, wasn't he? Well, what did Daniel do? There was no negotiating then. They said, you cannot pray. What did Daniel do? He went on praying. And he said, I've got to obey God. And what happened? He faced the consequences. He went into the lion's den. And he was willing to die for that choice of following God. But God was merciful to him and spared him, showing his power. But that was an instance where Daniel had to choose to obey God. In chapter 1, he was able to satisfy both. We need that kind of wisdom. And so he altered his plan to adjust to the situation and was able to apply wisdom to that situation. And so what about foolish planning? Proverbs has some things to say about that too, and we'll finish up with a few thoughts here. Proverbs doesn't only talk about wise planning, it also contrasts it with foolish planning. And so we see that God condemns foolish plans in Proverbs. For example, in Proverbs 6, it says there are 6 things that the Lord hates, 7 that are detestable to him, and then it lists off these 7 things. And one of those is a heart that devises wicked schemes. Those are wicked plans, aren't they? So God hates wicked planning. We also see in Proverbs 15:26, the Lord detests the thoughts of the wicked. We might say they're the plans or the intentions, the desires of the wicked. But gracious words are pure in his sight. Wicked plans, God condemns. Wicked plans are often in Proverbs characterized as deceitful, fraudulent plans. For example, in Proverbs 12:5, it says the advice of the wicked is deceitful. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 20 says, deceit is in the hearts of those who plot evil. So evil planning, it's deceptive, it's fraudulent. And those who plan in this way, in an evil way, they will not succeed. They will not succeed. They will flounder, and God's blessing will not be on them. And so God's blessing is on those who plan wisely. His blessing is not on those who plan foolishly. Proverbs 14:22. Do not those who plot evil go astray, but those who plan what is good find love and faithfulness. So God's blessing is on those who employ righteous planning under the authority of God.